May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. I found a very short story from the book Stories of the Heart by Viktor Frankl. It's all about choices and choosing, and in an abstract way, for me, I think that these lessons are all about the choices that we make. So I'm going to start with this. Viktor Frankl, survivor of three grim years at Auschwitz and other Nazi prisons, has recorded his observations on life in Hitler's camps. We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts, comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken away from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitudes in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. So as we go through the readings, right off the bat, in the contemporary that we read this morning, that we prayed, for me, there's five things that are very important. God tells us that his power, his almighty power, is chiefly shown in what? Mercy and pity. When we think of a powerful ruler, I don't think many of us, right off the bat, think of mercy and pity. I think we think of force, not mercy and pity, but that's what our God tells us. And then we ask him to be filled with his grace, with his strength, not our own, but his strength, which makes us stronger than we can ever be. And then the next one is that we, running to obtain your promises, and think of the word running. That means it's urgent, it's important. We're not supposed to be going slow in following God. We're supposed to be running, not necessarily, because we all can't physically run, but, in our hearts and minds and our souls we can be running. In the words that we say we can be running. And what are we running for? To obtain, to get the promises that Jesus has given us, and that's to be partakers in God's heavenly kingdom. That's so important that we know that we are partakers in God's heavenly kingdom. But, and the last point is, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So then we get to Amos, and we listen to this list, and I think to myself, wow, lounging around on beds of ivory, it's a neat list, but there's nothing wrong with any of those things. We can, let's say, if we were back then, we could do any of these things, except there's a but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. And that's the point. We can be as rich and comfortable and have as much leisure time as long as we are not only aware of the needs of others, but we have action. We do something because we want to please God and love God, and we want to please and help and love one another, not just in our families, not just in our neighborhoods or churches and towns, but anywhere we can. Even our lesser brethren, the animals, we are to be aware of their needs. Then we have 1 Timothy. Sounds like stewardship has definitely come quickly. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, and that's point. We're supposed to be eager to be with God. Rich, that's nice. Nothing wrong. But that's not to be our goal. So in their eagerness to be rich only, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. We don't want to become a people that is eager towards money and we wander away from our faith. And I know just about everybody in here pretty well, and I say we're all being faithful to our God each and every day. And we don't have to worry about it, but we want to keep up the good fight. So he says, but as for you, man of God, shun all of this, the pursuits of only being rich. Pursue righteousness, that's right acts before our God. Godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight and take hold of eternal life. Doesn't that remind us of Matthew and Luke, where it says where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be? Our hearts are to be just enveloped in God's holy arms. So at the end it says, as for those who in this present age are rich, command them not to be haughty, to set their hopes on uncertain riches, which made me instantly think of stocks and bonds that go up and down and up and down, and people get so depressed when they lose a lot of money. So we're not supposed to set our hearts on that. We are to do good, to be rich in what? Good deeds for God, towards others in Jesus' name. We are to be generous, ready to share, and then store up for ourselves treasures of a good foundation for the future in our eternal kingdom with God. And what's really neat is the very last half a line in this reading, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. That would be something we could say each and every day. I am to take hold of the life that we have in God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, because that is really life. But then we have the gospel. And Jesus said, there is a rich man who dressed up in purple, and it goes on, tells about him. And then there was a man outside his front, let's say, yard or courtyard. And this man was poor. Not only poor, but sickly. He was covered with sores. And this man longed to even have the crumbs off of this rich man's table. Didn't happen. And what's really interesting is the animal, the dog, had more awareness and care and love towards this man than the rich man did, because they would come and lift the sores that he had. They would lift his wounds and give him comfort. A lot of times we hear that, well, the animals, they don't have any hearts or minds, or they don't think. Well, I think sometimes they're more faithful to God than we are. So anyway, what happens is the rich man dies and he's buried. But Lazarus dies and he's carried up. Can you just picture that? He's carried up gently and lovingly by the angel to be with Abraham. Now, when it tells us that the rich man is tormented in Hades, that doesn't mean that God's going around torturing him. What that means is he's tormented because maybe he's begun to realize the wrong he has done. Maybe he began to realize finally, a little late, maybe not too late in God's eyes, that's up to God, that he neglected to pay attention to the needs of not only Lazarus, but many others. So he calls out, in his torment. He says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip his finger in water to help cool off my tongue. Notice he doesn't even say please. He's ordering Abraham around. Still needs to grow up a little bit to be more thoughtful. And Abraham says, child, remember in your life? The short version is, you had it really good. Lazarus had everything that wasn't so good, and you did not pay attention. But now you're in agony, and he is being comforted. And then he says, besides this, there's a chasm between us and you. Maybe the chasm is for those who haven't repented yet, who haven't realized their wrongdoing. They're not contrite yet. They haven't asked for forgiveness yet. Maybe that's the chasm. That's the barrier between them and God Almighty. But here's, I would say, a big sign of hope for the rich man. He says, then, Father, I beg you. His attitude has changed. And he's starting to care. What does he say? Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, because I've got five brothers. In other words, I want you to warn them so they don't end up like me. So he was finally thinking of others. And he says, well, they have Moses and the prophets to listen to. And then the rich man says, no, Father Abraham, but if somebody goes from the dead, they will all repent and listen. And what does Abraham say? If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone even rises from the dead. And that is what our Lord did for us. He rose from the dead. So we can consider ourselves warned. But the good news is we can consider ourselves loved beyond all measure. All we have to do is choose. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful day, for the building that we are able to worship you together so that we can feel your presence, be blessed by your presence, be healed by your presence. We ask that you help us to rest within your loving arms so that we can be energized and excited and be Jesus' messengers in the world, and show our joy and our energy to draw others closer.